Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm, back in the kitchen, getting things warm as we are at the first weekend here in August. Oh, yes, Sports City, I know a lot of people like to when you going to start talking that good old. I got y'all. Don't worry. Be happy. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the brunch.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you, people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the brunch with Lark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Lark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The caller number is 917-889-959, so you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Shout out to everybody that is participating. I do really get to say overseas, but south of our continent of North America, down there in South America, in Brazil, I actually have people from hometown here at Stanford that are down there participating. So hopefully they get to bring home gold. I'm loving every last bit of it, man. A lot of the big stuff is going on. But, you know, sports is life, you know. In some situations, it's everything. But we'll get into it, man. Like I said, we got a lot to jump into. Trying to get back into the swing of things, Sports City. But just vibe with us, man. We got a lot going on. From a big weekend that just popped off as of yesterday, coming into today as well. My co-host, my brother Tommy B, down there in the metro, the VA region of the United States of America. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing good. Just waiting for the breaking news to see what it is out of New York. As soon as I know, I will break it to you in Sports City.
Okay, and with that being said, we'll jump right into the show. With everything that's gone on in Canton, Ohio, a lot of big names. I actually am, you know, happy for the names that were up there. I've seen a lot of these guys' careers as they unfolded. The only one I didn't get to see was Ken Stabler. I was not on earth at that given time. But other than that, you know, the Orlando Paces, the Brett Favre, I'm actually, you know, thrilled to see one of the guys get up there into the Hall of Fame and make it, and that being Marvin Harrison, because I actually met him in person and had a conversation with him, like, more than just, you know, high-by, shake his hand. Like, we actually spoke. And even at that given time, I was a little bit taller than him. I was 14 in high school. But I'm happy to say that I know a Hall of Famer personally, so watching Marvin Harrison get inducted to the Hall of Fame is kind of personal for me. But from some of the names, some of the speeches, things that you heard, I mean, what would you like to touch on, any if possible, that come to mind for you?
I didn't really watch the Hall of Fame this year. There was really nothing popping off for me that I really wanted to see. Now, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
okay.
Marvin Harris. I got to watch Marvin Harris play in person when he was in Syracuse, when he played against the Canes. I mean, but there was really, I mean, I wasn't a big Brett Favre fan at all. I mean, yeah, he was good, but I wasn't that big fan of his. There really was nobody that interested me this year.
Wow, this makes it difficult for me. The crazy part about all of this is one of the guys that are up there, I didn't like, just because of the school he went to, But I respected everything he did on the football field, especially when he came to the NFL, being Orlando Pace, him being an Ohio State Buckeye. But knowing he did his job off the bookend, being one of the best tackles that we've seen, throwing him in the names in the likes of Jonathan Ogden, names like that. Orlando Pace did a lot of work with those St. Louis Rams teams. A notable guy with the get to look at it as like the best show on turf when he was there. The Brett Favre situation, it got emotional. His wife inducted him. The crazy part about the Brett Favre situation, I'm just like you. I am not a big Brett Favre fan. However, I had to see him two times a season with him being in the NFC North. So I understand and respect his path of being in the league and doing what he did and being one of the NFL's favorite sons, if you will. I mean, ever since he was in Atlanta, didn't work out in Atlanta in that first season. He went to Green Bay and made a name for himself. And now we're looking at Brett Favre getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then you have the likes of Kevin Green, another guy that I watched, a big portion of his career, if not all of it, from the Rams days to the Steelers days to the Carolina Panthers days. And even looking at him, knowing that he's still coaching, he's still in that NFL shape. And you could tell that, he put a bit of emotion into what he was saying as well. So I respect everything and all of the guys that came up there and spoke. Eddie DeBartolo Jr. being one of the notable names for the San Francisco 49ers, knowing how big that name is in football alone, throwing his name into the pool as well. I do respect a lot of these names. And Kenny Stabler, like I said, I wasn't alive to see what he was able to do, but just watching video and hearing so many people and knowing, Raider fan that spoke on behalf of Stabler and what he was able to bring to the game as a quarterback that was actually mobile as well. And that's the type of quarterback I like anyway. I like quarterbacks that move. Even though Brett Favre wasn't a mobile quarterback and Brett Favre was a gunslinger, I do respect Favre. I do respect Favre, but I do like quarterbacks that'll get up and take off. So it's like a difference in looking at these two quarterbacks go at it between him and not saying they went at it, but the difference between one that stayed in the pocket and made throws and fit things through a needle or take those shots and make his receivers, go out there and make things happen. So Ken Stabler being with the Raiders and being a part of that 70s era where they were, making that big name for themselves and helping put Al Davis's team on the map like they needed to. So I do respect the whole panel. It's not like I have a difference with any of them getting into the hall, but this is a pretty interesting panel to say the least.
Well, not to cut you off, we got breaking news out of New York. You ready? The Yankees and Alex Rodriguez have announced that Alex Rodriguez to play final game for the Yankees on Friday night. But he will stay with the organization as a coach or something. He will retire on Friday.
Now this is a bit of crazy news coming out of New York, and it's interesting that, we kind of flicker. And I'm going to come back to the football and Hall of Fame talk because we got a long show here. But crazy enough, Mark Teixeira just announced his retirement at the end of this season, this week, just a few days ago. And now you have A-Rod doing the same thing within the same week. It's like, okay, we already know how much is going down in New York, but really, in the same week, everything is breaking down. They are really turning that young. I wonder how long Joe Girardi sticks around. If Joe Girardi wants to see this rebuild situation, or will he head for the hills as well? And will they have to look for another skipper? Is this the new regime of the Yankees kind of back to the 80s to where they have to rebuild themselves to get back to the way they were in the 90s? This is something that I'm thinking about, but Alex Rodriguez no longer playing baseball as of Friday. I wonder if he will get a home run shot, if a pitcher will throw one down the plate for him to, get a hold of one and get the crowd in an uproar. But this is, interesting news, to say the least. And knowing how much money he is still due for the remainder of the season, it speaks volumes to what A-Rod did bring to the game and how they do respect him in the major leagues. But he hasn't had that presence in quite some time.
I mean, you think about it. He was the number one pick in 2003 for the Seattle Mariners.
In 93.
You look at that class in 93. Him, Jeter, and I believe Nomar Garcia-Perez was in that same class. I believe. I mean, three of the best shortstops. But saying that, with all this with A-Rod, with the steroids, and I mean, he was known doing it back in Texas, supposedly, or the end of his career in Seattle before he went to Texas, or however it went. I mean, and then busted again in New York. And I mean, part of that, I put him in, that's what tears me off. I mean, he hasn't really played at all. Joe Girardi, I can't even remember the last time he even played this year. I mean, I know his last home run was like, this is July or August. So, Jesus. I mean, his last home run might have been in May. I mean, he hasn't played much lately. I mean, they had an opportunity a couple days ago, 3-0. He could have came up and done damage. They didn't put him up to hit. I mean, he's really hurt his name with all the steroids talk. I really think the Yankees are doing this on purpose. I really do. They're like, okay, if you want to do this, you want to do that, okay, we'll show you. We just won't play you, then we'll force you to retire early.
Now, here goes the interesting thing, because, you know, we look at a lot of people, Hall of Fame-wise, that are not able to get in there, but they had great careers. And looking at A-Rod and him kind of trying to clear his name, two different occurrences, things of that nature, where they try to, fortunately try to clear his name or more or less kind of make him the poster boy of the situation. Now, we look at the likes of so many of the baseball athletes that are being held out. Do you think that they let him in to the Hall of Fame due to the situation that he's continued to play, and will they get him in there? You know, do you think they will?
No. He will not see the Hall of Fame. Just like I don't think Barry Bonds will see the Hall of Fame, Rafael Palmeiro will not see the Hall of Fame. Unless the only way those three get in is the writers that are older, that vote, croak. And God, I don't want to see anybody die, but it happens. And then you get these younger writers that come up, and they let them in, finally. It could be a while. I mean, I can't say it won't happen, but I'll say I think Pete Rose gets in before those three do.
And the crazy part about the Pete Rose situation is I think that they will – probably mess around and wait till Pete Rose passes away before they let Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. I mean, they are really standing firm with his ban of him away from baseball, whether it's him being in the Hall or being a part of a major league organization ever since the situation happened in the late 80s. So I really think that the sentimental value will come once he passes away, because they are still, upholding the ban. So looking at the, I guess I get to say it, the steroid era of baseball, which is the late 80s up until now. I mean, it's still continuing until now. You're going to see big name after big name not make it. So also looking at this season right here, 2016, you have David Ortiz, which is close to me because that's the team, my team being the Minnesota Twins, picked him up, drafted him in the farm system, and watch him do his thing when he got the Boston, and that's when everything started to turn with him. So you got the likes of Alex Rodriguez this season. You also got Big Poppy this season as well that may not ever make the Hall of Fame because of the steroid era.
I think Ortiz should be in. There is no proof that David Ortiz, Big Poppy, did steroids. Did he ever fail a drug test? No. The only thing that I think will keep him why the Raiders do this. They do not allow DHs in. I believe Adrian Martinez, one of the greatest DHs ever to play baseball. I remember being a kid watching him play at Seattle with Griffey and Jay Buhner and all them guys they had in Seattle. Should be in the Hall of Fame. And Poppy should be in the Hall of Fame. Poppy is the whole DH thing. The writers will not put a DH in the Hall of Fame for some reason. And I think that is biased.
From what he's able to do in Boston, I think he can, especially helping break that curse, because if he didn't come through big for that Boston Red Sox team, I mean, he's historic for the Boston Red Sox, no matter how people may look at that. Especially with a few years ago with the bombing in Boston, he was the one that spoke up literally by himself cursing during the speech. Like, he cursed during the speech just to show how, you know, mostly – distraught he was, but still, yeah, he was in that McNamee report. David Ortiz was in the McNamee report. With all those 86 other players in the Major League Baseball list, he was a part of it. So he was accused of that situation.
And they also had Gio Gonzalez in there, too, and there's no proof that he did steroids either. The only proof that there is his pitching has went down since then, but he's picking it back up.
Okay, so look at. And
but
they
never found a drug test.
So you tell me what your knowledge is of the McNamee report list.
Just what, like everybody else's, what the list was, who saw the drug test and who has it.
So how are the names on that list?
Well, how's the names on the list for some of these others in the other sport, in football?
We're talking about players in the baseball league, in MLB, that are being held away from the Hall of Fame, whether they got caught using or not. And we could go on and on about the names from Sheffield on down, but the people that are part of the McNamee list, I mean, even Manny Ramirez, look at Manny. Manny not going to make it. And I think Manny Ramirez deserves to make it. Definitely. Without a doubt. There's no way that you can hold names out like this, even if you want to say that these guys were abusing steroids or not. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But we can go back and forth on this if you want to continue to move. But anything else in front of the situation before we get away from it?
Just that A-Rod being released on Friday, and he will stay with the team as a special advisor, is what they're saying.
Okay, and I wonder how long that works for him, because I know that he has his name in different venues or things of that nature, seeing if he could make it all work out, you know, because I know he had a hand in trying to work with Miami as well, being the Hurricanes, donating money, things of that nature, so I don't know if he sticks around at the Yankees organization.
Well, technically, he's not a Miami Hurricane. He was committed to go there until he was drafted out of high school, the first pick. And he went to pros instead of the university. But
right,
the university still stays close to, he's still close to the university.
Right.
The stadium's named after him.
He donates. I didn't say he was a Hurricane. I didn't say he was a Hurricane. I'm saying that he gives to that university, so I'm wondering if he would try to put his name back in the hat down there, try to make something happen with, you know, just like it's noted, a lot of people don't want the Hurricanes to go play down there with that in Miami where the Dolphins play. They want to try and build something around the university. So who knows whatever he may be able to do. If he does stick around that Yankee organization for the remainder of his life or however long he wants to stay there, whether it's a 5 or 7 or 10 year stint, I cannot look at A-Rod's career and look at it like it was a down situation. He gave the league 23 years of his life, even though he hasn't played much in the past two seasons, I should say. I mean, it's been injury-riddled. He did get his one championship back in 09. But again, like I said, he may be one of those big names that are, you know, held out of the Hall of Fame due to the allegations or the findings, if you will, of him abusing steroids as well.
He's had 656 home runs.
That's a decent number, and I know he was on the chase to get to 700. I don't think that will happen now. I thought, well, definitely if he shut it down by Friday, unless he just goes on a swinging spree and starts knocking everything out of the park, then that'll be crazy that he could get to 7. But he was one of the notable names that we thought could actually either catch Babe Ruth or Barry Bonds, but now we're going to have to look forward to a name probably like Bryce Harper or I would have said Pujols, but we're not seeing Pujols look like he's going to close out his career strong. He's slowing down a lot. But he was one of those notable names that we thought could be a part of the 700 home run club.
I'm gonna tell you someone to watch out that could catch Barry Bonds. And it all means if he stays with this right team, and he's a young kid, very young kid, and it's not Bryce Harper. It's Chris Bryant for the Cubs. He could catch Barry. I really think so. Dude's got a swing. As soon as he learns the strike zone, what the umpires and all, and if he can stay healthy, Chris Bryant could be could pass Barry or at least be the one that comes the closest.
Well, we at least got another, another 15 to 16 years to see if they do get close to that number or pass it or whatever they need to do in their career. But I definitely think at least those two names right now are in the hat while they're still young and taking excellent hacks, especially in the National League, too, where there are good pitchers there, but a lot of these guys catch hold of some good pitches and take them deep. So I at least throw those two names in the hat that are still available, still young, that could probably keep their natural swing and threaten to at least be part of the 700 club or catching Babe Ruth or Barry Bonds, where Barry Bonds may sit at this current time in the league as well. Okay. Knowing that we got this under the rug, the A-Rod situation. We also have the Hall of Fame. I mean, is there anything else that you would like to touch on, whether it's Hall of Fame or baseball, that we can talk about before we get away from it?
No, not really. I mean, Hall of Fame, what I've seen, like on ESPN and all, it was nice. It was some stuff here and there. Like I said, it just wasn't nobody there really interested. That, you know, my Nationals are in that pennant race, so I watch my Nats as much as I can, especially when we play a team like the Giants that we could see in the postseason.
Okay, so looking forward to this Sunday matchup, we have the Hall of Fame game with the Packers going up against the Colts. Your thoughts on football finally getting back here at the start of the month of August?
I love this. Now, this first week of the preseason is pretty much more for the rookies and younger players. I mean, we won't see, like tonight, you may see the other A-Rod, Rodgers, and then Luck, you might see them for what, maybe one series, maybe two? I mean, Jordy Nelson's not back yet. Hadn't even practiced yet. Hadn't even hit the practice field yet for the Packers. That's something I'm keeping my eye on, is how much longer is he going to be out for? I mean, because they're saying he's not even healthy. I mean, there are some Canes players I'm keeping my eye out on this. I mean, we should see Herb Waters a good bit. For the Packers, I mean, the rookie, Shields might play, like I said, a series maybe. I mean, same way with Frank Gore. I mean, he may not even play at all tonight. Who knows? That's the only thing. I mean, I'll watch, but it's like first week of the preseason, it's okay. It's here, football's here, yay. Week two is when it gets better because you'll get more of your starters play a little longer. Then game week three of the preseason, they pretty much play, what, the whole game? Almost. Maybe like the third, they'll pull them out. Fourth, they don't play at all. But this season should be very interesting in certain divisions. I really think so.
Well, speaking on this game alone, like you just said, I don't think we'll see either of those quarterbacks, especially them being the big money guys, being Luck and Aaron Rodgers, being out there more than one series. If so, I think they'll get a quarter at best. I don't think they go longer than one quarter, being each of them, especially with Aaron Rodgers being a part of the Hall of Fame speech by Brett Favre. Knowing Brett Favre kind of said a little something, and everybody seen the reaction that Aaron Rodgers has given. However, I think it's a very interesting one. I definitely want to see both of these defenses, being the Packers and the Colts, because that's actually been their both of their teams' Achilles heel. As much as we know about Clay Matthews and him being a monster on the defensive side of the ball, he can't be everywhere, especially in a preseason game. He can't go out there and go full throttle. He has to save a lot of what he has for the remainder of the season. But I want to see the first tackle.
You know what the key is to these two teams this year? It's not defense. It's the offensive line. How much did they improve the offensive line? Especially in Indianapolis. I mean, Luck got beaten up all last year. Man, now he had something with his kidney or liver or something. I can't remember what it was last year. I mean, you're talking about people, quarterbacks that need to know when to get down and slide. Luck's another one.
We'll see if like I said, I don't see them out on the field too long. So their protection will be, reviewed. People will see what they have up front. I don't think they'll send too many blitzes or things of that nature. If they do, this will make it very interesting, to say the least. But you're right. I think both of these quarterbacks were tested, but I think Aaron Rodgers knows what to do and how to get away from pressure. Andrew Luck is going to have to show the ability to hit these guys, whether it's T.Y. Hilton, Dorsett. I mean, they do have a bunch of names out there for him to, throw the ball around a lot to. If they will have a successful season, this is something that we are going to have to watch closely, especially in an interesting AFC South. All of those teams are pretty much back in restore mode. The Titans turned things around with the draft that they had. You can't sleep on the Jaguars at all. The only questionable team I can look at is Houston, and they're saying Houston looks like a good team, too, with the pieces that they have defensively, too. Of course, you can never count out J.J. Watt and the top 100 players in the league. They're saying J.J. Watt is the best player in the NFL.
J.J. Watt just had back surgery, too.
Yeah, but
they're not sure when he's going to be back.
I'm pretty sure he'll be back for the season. I don't think he'll miss any time. I think he'll sit out the
remainder
of the season.
They're saying that he could possibly miss at least 4 to 5 weeks. Then back surgery's on him, this for no joke.
Okay, well, we'll see as we get closer towards September. I'm pretty sure that he'll be back from what I heard, but I'm going to have to find out where you actually got that information and see more on it. But even if J.J.'s there or not, that defense has to turn this around now. If that defense still looks questionable, if Houston is not getting more, and I'm going to be fair, if Houston doesn't get more than 7 wins this season, they have to break that team up. Or defensively. Defensively, they have to break that up. And Wilfork is already at the end of his run, so I can't even try and throw Vince's name there. But, like, the Cushings, the J.J. Watt, as much as everybody's been waiting on Jadeveon Clowney, and Clowney talking about this is his season to be the guy that he was supposed to be fresh out of college – They have to move people around. They can no longer for these guys not be productive at all.
I actually have a surprise pick who I think will win this division. But I'll say that when we talk about when we pick our divisions. This division is going to be very interesting this year.
Okay, speaking of which, with some of the information and things going on around the league, one thing that's actually close to here is Brandon Marshall visiting Revis Island. And the crazy part about it is these guys got into a little scuffle on the field. And, I hearing the interview that Brandon Marshall had after the practice situation, I could tell that it actually got under his skin. But Darrell Revis actually felt differently, even though Brandon Marshall said that Darrell Revis felt like Marshall disrespected him. Revis is looking at it like this is actually good for them, like a situation that they could learn from it and get better, being both of them. Your thoughts on Brandon Marshall being one of the marquee or, top 10 receivers in the league and Darrell Revis being one of the top 5 corners in the game going at it in practice?
Don't make a big deal. That has happened every year. There's always a team that get into scuffles. It's hot. They're tired. Jawjacking going on. They get tired of seeing each other. They want another. They want to hit somebody else. Somebody else steps same people over and over. I mean, it's the same thing. It happens all the time. It happened in Baltimore not that long ago. We had a lineman and I think it was a linebacker. They got into it, and it ended up being a big brawl. And they asked Harbaugh about it. Harbaugh says, I'm not really worried about it. It's just guys competing and everything else. It's all this is. And people, especially in New York, they think it's trying to make a story because they ain't got nothing else because they're sorry-ass Mets are 10 games out, 9 games out. Yankees suck, so trying to make a story out of something that's not a big deal. This shit happens all the time.
And now, this is the same thing.
What I want to talk about with the Jets is they turn around and bring in a Fitzpatrick, another quarterback. They've got what? 15 quarterbacks on roster, it seems like? I don't know. The Jets are just a total mess. I feel sorry for that fan base. Completely feel sorry for that fan base.
It's interesting, but right now I feel bad the way that Fitzpatrick came back to camp with the holdout. And as soon as everybody on the team was saying, you know what, we going with Geno. It was like nobody, a part of the Jets organization, was even trying to fight for Fitzpatrick. It was like, man, it don't matter, man. We'll go with Geno, and then as soon as everybody kept saying Geno, Fitzpatrick kept turning right around and ended the holdout and tried to get the discussion on the wraps. However, I think it's more than just the quarterback position. Now, if Fitzpatrick is sure that, one, he could help win the division, especially while they need to take advantage of the situation while Tom Brady is out for the first 4 games, that's huge for this Jets organization. But I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with either quarterback. I mean, rightfully as starters, being Fitzpatrick. But I think
they're
still
going to start. Head coach was. You have to look at Rex Ryan. He's not an offensive guy. Geno had no weapons, really, at all. Now they got Decker. They've got Marshall. They've got Forsett as a running back. They've got some other weapons here and there mixed in with it. I think Geno could actually do well now. But since he's got that Rex Ryan shit on him. I was a Geno fan when he was coming out of college. And this was one team I did not want him to go to. I did not want Geno going to New York. I did want him to go to Cleveland. I think Geno could win with this, with what he's got around him now. But I don't think he'll get a shot. I think Fitzpatrick will be that quarterback, and he'll probably push Geno somewhere back, what, second, maybe third-string quarterback.
No, I think he'll be starter or second string. I think more than likely, I think they will go with Fitzpatrick, and Geno be the second string. I think that Geno has the experience. Everybody else behind him, I don't feel like they could start and run the show with confidence with the receiver that they have there. They have an interesting core right now in New York too with the Jets as well. So whoever's running the show, they have the show improved. Whether it's Fitzpatrick, and we all know Fitzpatrick has those, you know, mid-game antics where he'll turn the ball over in critical portions of the game, or Geno just not having that consistent confidence. He'll have confidence, but it's not consistent on a week-by-week basis. And I think that's the turnover that the Jets are waiting for Geno to have so they can make this thing happen. Because I don't look at Fitzpatrick being the franchise quarterback for the team. I really don't. I really don't. I think they're doing this until they can see Thomas and a guy like Geno. If so, they're going to have to run with this guy as far as they can until they do get a guy that's going to be the next Boomer Esiason or you know, Joe Namath. This is the Jets organization. This is a New York team, a big market team. They are thirsty for a big-name quarterback, and I don't know if Fitzpatrick is the guy. But right now, this division is up for grabs at least for the first 4 weeks until Brady gets back, because I don't know about Garoppolo holding this down until Brady gets back. If he could go 2-2, that'll be great. I think that's a plus side. If they go 3-1 or 4-0, that's impeccable stuff for the Patriots organization. So I think this division is still up for grabs, to say the least.
I've already said the team to watch out this division. And I tell you, and this team plays New England twice in the first 8 weeks. I mean, it's week 4, and I know it's week 8. I'm telling you, watch out for Buffalo. The only thing that scares you with them is quarterback.
So do you think Tyrod Taylor could run the show or not? That is the question.
I don't trust the quarterback. Name me one quarterback that can go in and win that division. Just leave the team and go. I don't like Taylor. Dude, I can't stand E.J. Manuel. Who else they got? They just signed Reggie Bush for a backup to McCoy. And McCoy, those two, you never know which one's going to pull a hamstring or break a nail and be injured for 2 weeks. Defensively, I think they'll be fine.
Right. I think that is going to be their anchor, the defensive side of the ball. And their backup, their third-string quarterback is Cardale Jones from Ohio State.
Once again, whatever. Prove my point. They don't have a quarterback.
Well, you don't think Cardale Jones could go in there and do work? Cardale might fight for that job.
Nah. Nope. Because I'm telling you right now, when it comes down to crunch time and all, he'll make a mistake. He did it last year in Ohio State, and that's why they pulled him. That 1 year he's had because nobody had anything on him, and he came in and blew it up. And that's why they won that national championship. Then when teams had something on him, he didn't play well. They knew what he could do. So they put his weaknesses, and he turned the ball over. That's when they brought T.J. Barrett in. Cardo ain't nothing. He won't win that job. 9 out of 10, Taylor's going to win that job. Man, he did well. What teams need to do with Taylor is to keep him in that pocket. If you let him get outside, he can kill you.
Right now, I think this is Tyrod's job. I really do. EJ Manuel doesn't have the consistency, and I don't know if they want to go backwards and well, not even to say go backwards, to start fresh with the Cardale Jones and build with them, even though he is the future, him being a prototypical NFL-sized quarterback. I still think he may have some situation that he may have to wrinkle out. But just like you said, with the running back situation that they have, Shady McCoy and Reggie Bush, they're similar. I don't see both of these guys having a bit of power. These guys are scat backs with extreme shiftiness and having speed to get away from people. But like I said, I think the defense will be the anchor for Buffalo. And if they can shut teams down, that would be big for them. But their offense is, you know, on trial, if you will. They do have speed throw on the outside with the receiving core that they do have. I think this could be end up being a fast break offense. They have to have confidence in the, you know, moving chains. Every one of them can hit a home run. All of the players that are out there making plays can hit a home run. I think they have to show the consistency to move the chain instead of trying to be a one-play wonder team, which they do have the capability of doing at this current point in time. There is another topic in the NFL that I do want to touch on before I jump into something that's in my refrigerator before I bring it here to the brunch. And that is the brothers, being the Bennett brothers, Martellus Bennett, who is now a part of the New England Patriots, and Michael Bennett, his brother, a part of the Seattle Seahawks, both claim Jay Cutler being the worst quarterback in the NFL. In the NFL, in which we've seen so many different occurrences and year-after-year situation happen around Jay Cutler. And I'm one right now because I've seen so much of Jay Cutler and watching him take care of the Lions while, you know, the Lions are trying to turn things around, things of that nature, saying that he'll get it put together with the weapons that he has around him, things of that nature. And it's just something that may happen in the midst of the season. Martellus Bennett comes out with a statement that says, I can be open, and Jay Cutler will throw into a double team. Not saying whether it would get picked off bad or things of that nature, but just saying that the issues that he would force, and I guess Michael Bennett kind of sticking up for his brother, but also seeing it from when they played against the Bears as well. Do you agree with these guys or these brothers stating that Cutler is the worst player, well, the worst quarterback in the league?
Oh, boy. Ty, you know I can't stand this SOB. I can't stand Jay Cutler. Due to, he will have the guy, like Bennett said, wide open, and he'll force it down the field in double coverage and pick. The worst quarterback in the league might be pushing it. He's one of the worst. I can't say he's the worst. Because there's a couple others that I could throw out there, too.
Give me three games.
You're telling me that we could talk about Tyrod Taylor and EJ Manuel are better than he is? I mean, I would.
Starters. Not EJ. I mean, EJ is not a starter right now. And Tyrod Taylor, the season that he had last year, I'm giving him the leg up over Cutler right now.
I mean, Phillip Rivers? I mean, Phillip Rivers is the only one in quarterback
He's
the only one in one that when it comes down to it, he'll turn it over.
Okay, but that's
just
even
like
a debatable. That's a debatable question, Cutler or Rivers? That's debatable?
Yeah, because they're both almost the same.
Rivers won a playoff a while ago. I mean, but he hasn't had pieces around him. Rivers actually beat Cincinnati, a year or two ago. Remember when Cincinnati couldn't get out the first round? San Diego went to Cincinnati and beat them, remember?
I remember Cincinnati playing Houston the last, what, 2-3 years? But then they went to Indianapolis.
And then they had a game at home in the first round up against San Diego, and San Diego beat them in the first round. And with that being said, Rivers doesn't have weapons. Like, he finally got a weapon in Keenan Allen. He finally got one. Like let's look at Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates, when is he giving them a full season? See what I mean? Like, come on. Listen, at one point in time, I want you to think about this. Cutler had Martellus Bennett, Alshon Jeffrey, and Brandon Marshall at the same time with Forte behind them.
Hey, I'm just saying, I don't like either one of them. They're both the same. They will force the ball and not give it to the open guy. They both will force it and do something stupid.
I don't know about the Tyrod Taylor or the Rivers. I think those two, I give those two the leg up over Cutler. Cutler was supposed to have monster numbers with the receivers that he had 2 seasons ago. Last year, I understand, because Kevin White was out all season. They just watched Brandon Marshall go. Alshon Jeffrey didn't even give him a full season either, so it was patch work last year. But with Kevin White, with Alshon Jeffrey, he has a stable again. He has receivers around him again. He's still scary because he's elusive. He's a quarterback that will sit there in the pocket. He will take off and pick up that first down yardage. So he is mobile. If the Chicago Bears slump or suffer this year, there's no more. I can't point the finger nowhere else. I've been up here trying to stick up for Cutler just because I feel like I've seen him so much do damage to Detroit. But it's like, damn, I can't use the Detroit line as a measuring. I can't. I have to look at every other team that he's been – playing up against or having success against, and it hasn't been there. And let's be honest, he's a $100 million quarterback, and he's not even the leader of the Chicago Bears team. I don't even feel like if he's playing that he calls a huddle, like as in a team huddle, before they go out of the tunnel and they listen to him talk. I think there's another emotional leader on that Bears team, whether it's a coach, whether it's somebody on the defense. I don't think that whole team rallies around Jay Cutler. Like, let's be real.
What also aggravates me about Cutler is something can be his fault, but he'll turn around, yell and holler at somebody else and make them look like it was their fault.
Right, and I'm not even going to put, nitpick at it, because I can do this for hours, in which we can, you know what I'm saying? I can say that every situation that he does do that, and I know exactly, and that's one that, comes clear to my mind, but even if he'll throw an interception, he'll put that helmet to the top of his head like he don't care. You mean to tell – okay, that's like me paying you $100 million and you are turning the ball over. You don't care? Yeah, right. You better show me some frustration. You better take your helmet off and throw it across the sideline or something. Like, show me that you're pissed off that something happened. He still has that same mojo. Same helmet to the top of his head. He gets there, puts a hat on. It looks like he could smoke a cigarette and just calm down. I still am leery of him because, of course, he has that big arm capability. Of course, he has those big receivers on the outside, including getting a rookie that hasn't even played yet in Kevin White this season also. I do want to see what can get done. But if I'm going to say this, in fairness to you, Jay Cutler, I'm going to be fair. If you guys don't put together 8 or 9 wins this season, they have to move you, man. They have to move you. Like, there is no way that this Bears team would go 8-8 or 9-7 and either make the playoffs barely or miss the playoffs and having these weapons and knowing John Fox is there to help you restore that defense. They're going to try and patch this Bears defense back together to the way that it once was. I'm not going to say the Lance Briggs and Urlacher days, but knowing that John Fox has a strong defensive mind and it has worked everywhere that he's gone, whether it's been in Carolina or whether it's been in Denver, he's been able to get the job done. So this is a scary situation for the Bears. If this offense clicks, it can at least get them 21 to 24 points a game. It can be tough, if John Fox has his hand in his defense's back like he needs to.
Okay, you say they move him. Say they win 6 games this year and they move him. Who gets it? Who would want him? Because I would.
I know. You already have a $100 million quarterback that has to show that he can show promise after the knee. But just like you said, Buffalo with their quarterback situation, if Tyrod Cardale Jones and E.J. Manuel, if these guys continue to suffer, that's a landing spot. Don't forget about Cleveland. Cleveland is another landing spot as well. I'm not comfortable with the quarterback position in the Redskins camp either. The Washington Redskins, even though Kirk Cousins is there, I don't feel like Kirk Cousins is a household name at that quarterback position. I don't feel like he's
going
to be the guy.
Could you see him going back home?
To Tennessee?
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota. I think Marcus Mariota is the guy. Marcus Mariota is the guy. There's no way that they'll put him in there over Marcus Mariota. I feel like that's Mariota's job from here on out. Like I said, there are a few.
Because right now, I've got the Bears finishing third in this division. Maybe fourth.
Like I said, it depends on what Cutler shows up. I'm going to be honest. If this is the Cutler from that NFC Championship year it has to be that NFC Championship year where Seattle made the Super Bowl and he sat out because of, his knee or whatever. That run that he was on that season, if they get that Cutler back, then maybe. But if they get the Cutler that's turning the ball over, I want to say over 13, because I could say double-digit interceptions, but a lot of quarterbacks don't keep it to single digits. That's hard. But if it's over 13 or 14 interceptions on the season, I think the Bears will struggle. I think they'll struggle. But like I said, I'm leery about them because I see them twice a season, and they had to take Ndamukong Suh to get to them a couple of times. Now there's no Suh. If he's still elusive enough to get away from pressure, or do people really have the blueprint on Jay Cutler and not being able to teach an old dog new tricks? Think of that, Jay Cutler. But we'll see. Anything else before we get away from Jay Cutler?
Nope. But
okay,
so why they said he was one of the worst. He's up there.
Right, and I'm looking at the whole NFL, looking at every division and team, and I'm trying to think of all of their starters and thinking of which one that I could give the leg up to Cutler on. What, like the ones I could make it debatable, look, I could go RG3 right now, the way RG3 is going to have to build itself back up. Depending on what Kaepernick shows up in San Francisco, I want to see if Kaepernick can do work. And the Rams, I mean, they just got rid of Foles, so I can give him the leg up there with the Rams as well, because Foles is now in Kansas City with the Chiefs where he was once. There you go. I'm not a big Tannehill fan, that's why. But Tannehill has weapons, though. I give Cutler the leg up. Okay, so Tannehill, yeah, he might have Tannehill. And like I was saying about Nick Foles going to Kansas City, the last time he was successful in the league, he was with Andy Reid. So it would be crazy if things don't pan out with Alex Smith. If Alex Smith is struggling, I don't think they wait too long to put Nick Foles in. Nick Foles helped that Philadelphia Eagles team get to a playoff run. I hope people don't forget.
See, I think Alex Smith does fine this year.
I think last year was a fluke. He's going to have to show me more. Okay. So we'll get away from this right now. We pull up some more stuff. Of course, we have the Dez Bryant situation with him dropping passes and everybody in an uproar about it. And we talked about this recently. but Dez Bryant has finally made a statement about it, toward it. But I do want to talk about something that's in my own backyard, even though I try my best not to, and that is the re-signing of Russell Westbrook. I want to know about your thoughts on the situation, his statements after him re-signing, and moving forward within this Western Conference also.
I mean, congratulations on OKC. They got a superstar in my book, the real MVP of this past season. I don't care what people say. He was. Westbrook was. Congratulations. Now, this was the plan, I mean, that we discussed earlier. I brought up, I think it was a couple weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, that the plan was to sign him to a long term. This was what, a 3-year contract with an option of 4, or he could opt out. I mean, the plan is to get Griffin, Blake Griffin, in there with him. That's the plan. Do they do it? I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that OKC got to keep a superstar in there, because it's not like a whole lot of superstars want to go to OKC for something. I mean, a lot of the reasons are there's nothing to do there, is what a lot of people say, that the town closes early and it's hard to find this place and they don't have this. I mean, hey, maybe this will attract superstars to come in there.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if – it would be interesting to see if Blake Griffin did go back home, because he is from the Oklahoma area, in which they're saying that with the move of getting Waiters out of there, sending Waiters to Miami, lock Russ up to a max deal. And also with this happening, they are able to get another big-time superstar, whether it's in this season or in the upcoming season, as a free agency coming around this upcoming season, which Blake would be available and would help fill the void at the power forward position. Even though Oklahoma City does have a good amount of bigs as well, even though Ibaka is gone, but they still have somebody that can fill that void. I think they still will have Cantor come off the bench, even though Cantor could be a starter and start with Steven Adams. I do want to see how they do end up making this work out, whether it's within this season or in the upcoming season. But with the statement that Russell was making during his interview and how a lot of the reporters and people, the analysts of that nature, were trying to, cause a big stir between him and Kevin Durant and seeing if he was still bitter or if things stung and things of that nature. I know they were trying to wake Russ up, and Russ responded the way that Russ would. So it was just great to see that he stayed put, and it was like I wanted to come after everybody that was talking about, oh, Russ leaving, oh, Russ getting traded, he going to the Lakers, he going back home. And it's like everybody that comes to me is like, I wanted to, but I was just like, nah, it's better to leave it alone, man, because you never know what could happen in the future, whether karma come back or around, things of that nature. But just seeing Russ stick with a team that he basically got them over the hump single-handedly last year. Because I can really look at that playoff run, and I don't want to discredit Kevin Durant by any means. Of course, this dude is a phenomenal scorer. I don't want to take anything away from Kevin Durant. But Russell was manning the ship and putting the entire Thunder team on his back all last season. All last season. That wasn't the Durant show. Last year was the Russ show. Even though Durant was still putting up 26, 27 points a night, and that's what I said, he's an extreme scorer. I cannot take that away from Kevin Durant, but 18 triple-doubles in a season, we have not seen that since Magic Johnson in 81-82. Like, people have to think about that. He was getting it done outside of Kevin Durant, which everybody knows. They like, oh, well, Russ don't pass the ball to Kevin Durant, so how is he getting you triple-doubles if he's not getting Durant the ball? He's making it work with pieces that people don't even think can work in the NBA. Think about that. It's huge that Russell made that happen for Oklahoma City. I'm leery about them still being in the Western Conference and him having to do so much work to get past a lot of these teams a lot of these teams. And now you know they're going to try and load up to put double teams on Russell. Russell don't go off because Durant is not around them any longer. So they're going to need a stronger scorer outside of him to keep a lot of those single coverages for Russell to be able to operate.
I am very interested to see when Golden State comes to Golden State, or when OKC plays Golden State, what's the reaction with Wes? Does he try to do it by himself to show everybody, hey, I can do this without KD, he was nothing? Or does he come out and try to ball out and just, I mean, I'm very interested to see when them two match up and play and see how it goes. My guess is the first time we'll see them two match up will be Christmas Day.
No, the Thunder played the Miami Heat on Christmas this year.
Huh. Wow. I figured they'd have Miami play in Chicago.
And that would have been a more interesting matchup. I think Chicago might end up playing New York for Christmas. I don't know the full schedule, but I know that was the lineup for the Thunder this Christmas, that they were going to play Miami and Miami this year. I don't know. The way that I seen that it should have went in the Western Conference Final was the way Russell should have continued to attack Steph and keep him in foul trouble the way that Kyrie had him, because you seen the first four games where Russell was doing that, Curry couldn't stop him at all, and then all of a sudden him and Durant started settling for jump shots, and Durant was missing more jump shots than we've ever seen, including the game six where he went, six for 31. It was a bad situation where they were supposed to be able to close that out. And Clay got hot, and that was history. It sent it back to Golden State, and the Warriors ended up closing out the series. But if Russell could force the issue and force Curry or one of them, the guards, in foul trouble, and be able to operate and make that Warriors team show concern, because they're no longer deep. The Warriors left a lot of that bench, a lot of those backup players to help, spell, whether Steph, needed a blow or whether Clay needed a blow. There's a lot of players that are gone to other teams. You got the likes of Festus Ezeli is now gone. Andrew Bogut is gone. You have Harrison Barnes that is gone. Leandro Barbosa is gone. There are a lot of names that were part of that team that are gone. Now they have to go with a big man in Zaza Pachulia. They have David West coming off the bench.
They got McGee, too.
Come on.
They brought McGee in, too.
Right. They could end up starting JaVale McGee. I think JaVale McGee may end up being a starter over Zaza Pachulia. It depends on what Steve Kerr works with. But JaVale McGee, he can't get out of his own way. JaVale McGee is his own problem, if I'm saying that the right way. I mean, he may have some games where he comes up with
it. Trust me, I know. He played down here in D.C. Trust me, I know.
Right. He may have a couple of games where he comes up with big blocks or a couple of dunks here and there, but it's always something that he'll end up slipping up in the midst of the game and giving, Shaq something to talk about, a.k.a. Shaq and the Fool, where Shaq calls him the Shaq and the Fool King. There's always something with JaVale McGee. So, like I said, we'll have to see if, it depends on how Kerr wants this to run, whether it's going to be Zaza as the starter or JaVale McGee. I think they may go with JaVale because he's the taller guy, even though I feel like Zaza could go out there and do more on the floor other than block shots, because I think I'd give the leg up to JaVale on that one. But I don't know. I don't know. That is something that we will need to see. But like I said, if going back to the situation, if they could force the issue in that Thunder-Warrior matchup and have us get these guys in foul trouble, this actually makes it an interesting fight, if so. But if not, I feel like the Warriors can still spread the court and get any one of them to shoot the ball confidently and make it a very interesting win for the Warriors. And I'm actually speaking truth. For me being a Thunder fan, I don't like saying it, but I have to be truthful. If everybody's not staying home playing single coverage defense, this could be a tough matchup for the Thunder.
I'm just hoping this is too off OKC fans, Thunder fans, and all, when they come into your building, don't boo KD. Don't say anything. Just be quiet. Don't even acknowledge him. Because you're going to fire his ass off if you boo him, I'm afraid. He could light y'all's asses up. Just root for your team. Don't worry about all these signs and blah, blah, blah. Just don't acknowledge him.
Unfortunately, that is not how Loud City works. I know the Thunder will boo him. They did that the first game when James Harden left. Every player that's left the Thunder, especially the way that Kevin Durant made that situation happen, you know, there's no way that Steph Curry passes Durant the ball and nobody says anything. Like, there's already people outside of his former house, a bar owner, you know, burning his jersey in front of his house, things of that nature. So, believe me, there's no way that they will be quiet. I think it'll definitely be an interesting game. And it will fire him up. I know he'll come out and probably have a 30, 40, 50-point night. He might, because he's so used to those rims. But there's no way that they'll be quiet. I know that for sure.
Have you heard, have they closed down that restaurant that he had in OKC, or is it still open?
It's still open, but from what I'm hearing, they say nobody visits the restaurant.
I mean, I know they said there were people that went in and did a bad report or whatever about it and everything else.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, from the people that I know that are down there, they're talking real bad about his restaurant, saying that the food is terrible. But it comes with the territory. You know that they're going to act like that because he left. So I'm not even holding that accountable. Plus, shoot, Kevin Durant was making over, let's just say, over $20 million a year. So it's like he could always keep that restaurant up and running, even if nobody comes in there and eats. Like, he could pay the bill as much as he wants to. But if he wants to close it down, he could. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't even hold too much toward that. I really don't. Okay, are there any topics that you like to touch on before we get moving forward?
Well, I was watching the women's USA team, and it's pretty much, right now the women's USA team's up 84 to 30. I'm going to tell you now, Team USA, men and women, this is going to be a joke for basketball. I don't even think I'm going to even watch the men and women basketball team anymore in this. This is I understand why we go after and get the pros. But, Ty, you telling me we can't get college players to play in this and still win?
I don't think they – no, college players couldn't win. I don't think they're ready for the international game. I don't. I don't think college players are ready.
So you're telling
me
we couldn't take the best players in college, say Ben Simmons, the dude from Oklahoma, for some reason his name slipped me, Buddy Hill. Did we
Buddy Hill,
get
yeah.
some of the players and couldn't win?
Well, Ben Simmons would be on the Australia team.
Well, I mean, he plays, he could pass, I mean, it depends.
Ben Simmons is on the Australia team. Buddy Hill, I don't know. Like I said, I feel it'll be a tough situation if they go with the college athletes. I think to make it fair, that if they did do college athletes, make it like 6-6, six pro, six college athletes. Because you see some of these players on these international teams, and they're not ready for the NBA players. Like they can play ball, but they'll come up with a player to score a bucket, and that's the bucket of the game for them. Like, I don't think, no. Especially the way that they beat China by 57 points last night. By 57, like, no. No. But, I mean, I love it. I love basketball. I love to see blowouts. You know, especially when it's a powerhouse team like that, they have to come up with wins like that. Like, them having a close game with anybody, that's going to give one of them teams enough confidence to pull it. like I feel like Argentina could give them a run. Spain could probably give them a run. That's it. The old Germany when Dirk was running around, maybe Australia because there's Patty Mills there, there's Ben Simmons, there's Andy Bogut.
Yeah, Australia just lost. Australia just lost to France. What was it, yesterday?
Oh, no, they beat France. They beat France. Australia beat France. They upset France.
Well, okay, maybe that's why. Maybe I was thinking Australia was the, I don't know.
As much as I want to try and throw France in the pot, Tony Parker is just offense. He has no defense at all, and Nicholas Batum plays defense and has no offense. So there's a strong imbalance on that France team also. So that makes it tough for the Frenchmen as well going up against USA. Like I said, for us to make it fair, six pros, six colleges, and that's that. Like, because especially the women, like, if Gino keep coaching, Gino will win gold medals until he clock out. And I mean, like, clock out of life. Like, they won't stop. Gino is cheating. I don't know what Gino's doing, but Gino is cheating bad. And for the for the past three or four instances, he's had all of his UConn girls with Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, Tina Charles. He's been having all of his girls, so he's used to coaching these girls. He gets to scream at them just like it was practice right here in Connecticut. So he's comfortable. Gino's comfortable. They got to get Gino out of there and let another lady coach those women and make it tough. They are not going to stop Gino at all. I love Pat. Pat is always going to be my favorite. Pat's my favorite, but Gino's the best. Gino's the best women's coach there is. Plus, they said Coach K is stepping down, too, so I want to see who they end up having running the show for Team USA soon, too, especially in the 2020 season coming up in 4 years as well. That would be crazy to see who's coaching them in that one.
Could you see the behind for Syracuse take it over? I mean, he still won the staff, right?
Boeheim, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, because it was looking like Boeheim was ready to give it up also while he was out there in Syracuse. So, I don't know. Knowing Boeheim's getting up there at age two, I think they'll go after an NBA coach that's proven. I mean, Greg Popovich has been there. They might go after Greg Popovich. Nate McMillan is another name that's been along that sideline, too. I don't know if Nate will run the show, if they do show confidence in that USA circle. If anybody, I look toward Pop. I think it'd probably be Coach Popovich out of any of those coaches.
You think he'll want to do it, or do you think he'll just want to stay focused for the Spurs? Definitely after what's happened over in Golden State with them getting this, you might as well say, this power team.
Who, Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
No. It's too many personalities for Steve Kerr. Honestly, I'm going to say it like this. Steve Kerr is not that type of coach that I feel like he's working a system. He has so many strong players around him. Like, they play perimeter basketball, set up screens for Steph. So if he goes right or left, he's in his wheelhouse to shoot the jump shot, or Clay sitting off away from him, or somebody sitting in the corner. They have a D3, so it's hard for them to cover the whole floor. If you watch Golden State play ball, that's exactly what they're doing. They have two screeners, whether it's Draymond or at the time it was Bogut. Steph could go right or left and hit the jump shot, or if they close that up, he could either kick it to Clay, or if Clay's in a tight jam, there's somebody sitting in the corner. It's too much for them to try and cover all across the floor. I don't feel like Steve Kerr can go and run the show for 2020 and have this team ready, unless he comes out with a bunch of three-point shooters. If Steph and Durant come back, and, you know, of course they'd have to have Clay and Draymond again. I feel like this whole team could come right back again, but these guys will be older too, so it'll be very interesting to see.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't agree with Steve Kerr, though. I don't. Even though he's been a part of Coach Phil Jackson here, Coach Pop's situation, no. Okay, we have 15 minutes left. Any matchup today that you're watching closely with your Nationals at home up against the Giants? There's also another one that I was looking at, too, while we were talking. It actually slipped my mind, but there were a couple of matchups. Your thoughts on this one, at least your boys as of today. Oh, Boston and the Dodgers tonight, too.
I mean, this matchup's going to be interesting to hear 135s in D.C. because Tanner Roark's pitching for us, and they actually, last night, Madison Bumgarner was scheduled to pitch last night, and the Giants pushed him back to pitch in this game. And it's going to be interesting. I haven't seen our lineup yet. I know Bryce is out with a strained neck. He was hurt. Ryan Zimmerman joined the DL with a wrist due to a 95-mile-per-hour fastball that hit him in San Francisco. It's going to be interesting. I think we can jump on Madison Bumgarner, we might win this. Because he did not have a good outing his last start against Philadelphia. I mean, it'll be interesting. As long as we can keep it close and can get into their bullpen, I think we'll be fine. Tanner's has just got to do what he's been doing lately.
How do you feel about the Dodgers and the hosting the Red Sox in L.A.?
That could be another good game. The last couple have been good. I mean, that one might be a very good game, too. I'm going to have to keep my eye out on that while I'm watching, I guess, the Monday night game. Because that's the Sunday night game, right?
No, the Sunday night game tonight, well, the one that I'm talking about is the late game, and it's on MLB Network. It is not on Sunday. They do not have a Sunday night game tonight. There isn't a Sunday night game.
Right, because of the Monday night game. Oh, it's not the Monday
right.
night game, but the football game.
The football. Yeah, the Hall of Fame game.
It might be pretty good. I mean, I haven't seen the pitching matchup yet. I haven't really got into it. But do you know Ichiro Suzuki is one hit from 3,000 in his major league. He is one hit away from 3,000.
Now, that is what I give him credit for. Making it to 3,000 as a major league baseball player, yes. But if they're including what he did overseas, like, that's tough for me. Because, like, there's some pitchers that are overseas that would never get a crack at getting into the league at all, being the MLB. So, it's tough for me. And now that I look at the rotation for you guys up against the Giants, you guys go up against Madison Bumgarner today, too. So this is tough.
Right. They pushed him back to pitch. They didn't want, I guess, Bochy didn't want him matching up against Steven last night or yesterday evening. And they pushed him back to tonight, or I might say today, because it's here in what, an hour and a half in all. To go up against Roark.
Right, and you were talking bad about Roark. Roark's numbers aren't that bad this season. He's 11-6. He's
no,
doing good.
He's one of our top three pitchers. If you look at it, it would probably go Steven, Scherzer, and then Roark. Like I said, if those first two couldn't pitch in a game one in the playoffs or a game seven, I'd be happy with Roark pitching. I would be. The only thing about Roark is the lineup doesn't really give him that run support at times. The offense will just disappear. The offense will just disappear, and then it's like Roark had to go out and pitch shutout innings or give up maybe one run an inning, and hope that the offense clicks.
Okay. Other than that, I really don't have that much left. I know we are looking forward to this Hall of Fame game. Who do you like in this matchup and why? I mean, even though nobody's really going to be playing hard, but it is finally good to see football back out there. Who do you think wins this matchup?
Oh, wow. You know what? I'll go with Green Bay just because they've got more Hurricanes on the team.
Wow. No love for Philip Rivers?
I don't know. I'm hoping Herb Waters comes. They actually showcase Herb Waters, and he shows what he's got.
What about Philip Dorsett, though? I mean, Philip is a king.
Well, yeah, but they don't have a quarterback to get the ball to him really. I mean, you don't trust Whitehurst? I guess he's still in Indy. But there were talks that he could be traded, that the Cowboys were looking at him since they don't really have a backup now.
Right.
Because Kellen Moore's out for the season. So, I mean, who knows how much longer he'll be there. Take nothing away from Dorsett. But how much is he really going to play in this? Is the key. He's one of their top five receivers. Once again, he may play, a series or two?
Okay, and also, how do you feel about Ken Griffey finally getting his number retired in Seattle? And the way they retired it, it was quite epic.
Who?
Ken Griffey Jr.
I loved it. Ken Griffey's one of my favorite baseball players of all time. He had the most beautiful swing from the left side. I was young when Baltimore had the All-Star game and Griffey hit the warehouse.
Right.
We was actually there. I was there for that. Was actually and got to meet Griffey and everything. Of course, we had a bunch of them, but Griffey was one that I'm glad he got into the Hall of Fame. He's just class act. He's unbelievable. Unfreaking believable.
I think that All-Star game might have been 98, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been different. I really want to say 98. I really do.
It was 98 or 90s. I think that ballpark opened in 96. No, it opened in 93.
Because I remember Cal Ripken. That was Cal Ripken's game. Like Cal Ripken was the big guy that day out of Camden Yards.
That ballpark's
okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I got a friend that's actually a big-time Orioles fan and is begging me to come to a Twins-Orioles matchup, but they always play in the middle of the week. I want to catch them on a weekend series. So hopefully next year the MLB will do me some justice. I could get to the game next year as the Twins come to Baltimore. Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close-out, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we get ready for our first little taste of NFL preseason football as the Hall of Fame game takes place with the Colts and the Packers today. You already know what to do around this time.
Good show, Ty. Hopefully we can get back tomorrow, talk about what we watched today. Don't have much for a closeout. I am glad that I will say this, though. The last time I was on, I went on a rant with this network, NFL Network. They actually came together. Thank God. Somebody heard us. Somebody was listening that night.
Everybody got to eat. It don't matter what you're doing, especially on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I got to get this schedule back, Rocket Sports City. Like I said, I've been in a ton of pain, but trying to get back into the scheme of things, man. But like I said, Thank you, Dish Network, for helping him out, getting that NFL Network situation put together. We'll be back here. I don't know who to go for in this game tonight because, of course, the Packers are in my division. I want them to slow down, but there's no slowing Rodgers down, even though he'll only probably play a season or a play or, I mean, a series or a play. I said a season. A series or a play. And Andrew Luck, we actually start the season out up against the Colts. So it's like, I don't want to see Andrew Luck getting hot either. So it's like, this game is up for grabs. I just want to see, like I said, I want to see the first tackle. I want to see somebody get lit and they wasn't supposed to light them up crazy. Like, you know, I want to see a bomb touchdown. Like, that's just me, man. We've been away from football like this since February, 6 months ago, like to the day. Like, I think the game was February 7th for the Super Bowl. So it's literally 6 months to the day as of right now. So we get some football back, Sports City. So I'm happy to see it go down right now. SportsCityChefs.com, that's the website. Check it out. Interviews, blogs, the chefs. You already know what time it is, man. NFL is back. Summer is coming to a close. The bird months are around the corner. In the words of Bart Scott, ooh, I can't wait. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses is taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy this, everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark the Moses and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.